Bienvenue and welcome to Akeem's Dream Show. My name is Akeem the Dream, also known as Brown Sugar Supreme, also known as The Dark Knight Batman. I'm Batman. This show is a variety show because I had a lot of ideas growing up and wrote them down, and my curiosity is insatiable. And you'll notice that I have a lot of random ideas and subjects, but I think that's what makes it fun. Variety is the spice of life, and I like to keep it spicy, and you will find that out very quickly. Remember, folks, never grow old with no stories to tell. And it's finally time to spice things up. Let's go.
Check this out.
That's right, I should have been a cowboy. Should have been a cowboy. I should have learned to rope and ride. So that lady who was down the intro there, her name is Berlin. And guess what? I met her at this ranch when I was a ranch hand. When I was a cowboy for a day, I met a future country star. Her name is Berlin. That was her single track, her first track called Save Us. She's actually got a show coming up, I believe, on November 8th. At Cook County, so I'm gonna go check that out. But it was sweet to meet her. A few things happened, okay? So I'm on this ranch, and I'm gonna talk about my day as a cowboy in this episode and how I should have been a cowboy on this episode. But I wanted to backpedal a bit and give you some context as to how I got here. How did I become a ranch hand? So this is a meta comment, but I think when you live in a place long enough, you end up becoming whatever that place is. What I mean by that is, if let's say you move to a place and you're there for 20 years, you'll just end up becoming and assimilating to whatever that culture is. I just think that's what happened by osmosis. Like, I was born in Ontario, moved out here when I was 5, and over the course of 20 years, I've started listening to country music, I've got a truck, I've been to all the country music festivals, I learned how to two-step, I've been hunting, right, and now I've been a ranch hand and I've been a cowboy. I'm going to be getting my gun license soon, so I mean, I'm checking off all the boxes of a typical Albertan, right? I've worked in oil and gas, and now I like hockey, right? I'm pretty much an Albertan now. So actually, when people ask me, you know, when I travel around the world and stuff, and people go, where are you from? I go, I'm from Canada. And people ask me, like, what about, you know, what do I like to do, what I am? I just end up listing off Alberta shit, right? I like the outdoors, camping, not hunting so much as to, like, shoot stuff, but, like, I just like to go hiking generally in the outdoors. But it comes full circle now because I went to a ranch and I was a cowboy. About 7 or 8 months ago, I was buying steak from my purveyor of steak goods at the Strathcona Farmers Market. They have amazing, amazing meats. Like, I'm talking the best ribeyes you've ever tried in your life. The best New York steaks, the best ribeyes, you name it, they have the best. And I've tried a lot of different steaks because, like, ever since I started eating steaks 4 or 5 years ago, I've tried a bunch of different kinds and stuff like that. And a lot of the bigger farms, like, they kind of have a similar kind of milk toast taste, and it's good, but it's not like, I don't know. There's a big difference between the big factory farms and the kind of family farms that have been passed down from generation to generation. This is the difference that I've noticed, that it's just like a different taste. So anyways, I'm at my farmer's market steak guy and girl, couple, lady. I asked them one day about how their operation works and how many heads of cattle they have. One of the other chicken vendors at the market, they actually do this thing where they have a take your kid to work day format where anybody who shops from them is welcome to come to a day at the farm and see how the farm operates. And that's a hugely awesome thing because obviously if you know anything about me, especially a few of my episodes like May Contain Soy, over the older I've got, the more concerned I am about what's going into my mouth and my body. Because my free tea needs to be sky high, if you know what I mean. I need to be boosted. My red blood needs to be flowing through these veins, through these muscles, effortlessly and without any resistance. So for me, it's important to know where my food comes from, how it's raised, and all that other, the whole nine yards, right? Can't always control it, but let's say out of 90% of the stuff I eat, I know exactly where it came from, what it's being fed, how it's being treated, and then I know that I'm going to get good shit. Now, that's a modern luxury that I work hard for, but I end up going to them one day and just asking these questions, and they tell me a bunch of answers, and I like it, and my curiosity just begins to grow as they get home that day, and I'm like, I wonder if they would just let me swing by and check it out and offer my strong back and my weak mind for a bit. I have a strong mind, but you know what I mean. I'll just be a grunt. I'll be a whatever they need me to do. Because I'm sure there's a lot of work to do on the farm. And I found out, woof, there is a lot. Some of the hardest workers in the world are farmers. Let me just put it that way. I ended up DMing them back in April or March this year just to say, hey, my name's Akeem, blah, blah, blah. You know me from the market. I buy all your stuff. I'm a huge fan. And I put on like maybe 7 or 8 different people to their stakes. Like I've done marketing and sales for them effectively to get their get more people buying their stuff. But I told them all this stuff, and I'm like, hey, listen, like, if there's any way I can come to the farm and just check it out and help out in any way, let me know. And kind of fell on deaf ears, and, you know, which is fine. Like, they said that, you know, they didn't really say anything to the message. They said they'd think about it or something like that. And then I just let it be, moved on, and kept buying steaks, and the summer went on and had a crazy busy summer. And then the fall time comes, and the autumn time, and the harvest moon, and all that kind of stuff that we talked about on the last episode. And lo and behold, they're finishing the last of their farm infrastructure phase. So how kind of works on a farm is during the winter, it's really animal focused. Like when it's colder outside, they're birthing calves, they're taking care of a lot of animals, they're milking them. It's very animal focused for all of the winter and pretty much most of the spring. And then the summer and the fall, it's very infrastructure focused. Crops, planting crops, harvesting the crops, taking care of barns, building barns, building like all these different kind of stuff that help the animals. That's kind of done in the summer and the spring. So when I hit them up, they were kind of transitioning between the animal phase and the infrastructure phase of the farm season. So they didn't really need me too much because they're like, I'm not going to bring in this random dude, Jamaican bad man rude boy from the city to come and help us milk the cows because he has no idea what he's doing. But maybe we'll hit him up in the fall when we need some help with the barn or some shit like that. And that's exactly what happened. Exactamon. So they hit me up and they go, Akeem, are you free this Saturday? Like maybe 3-4 days before. And I go, absolutely. Actually, funny enough, I was supposed to be in a pie eating contest on Saturday that these realtors invited me to. But I said, guys, as much as I want to go there and dominate and destroy everybody, because I would, let's keep it real, I'd 100% win that competition. I've been known to eat, there's records of me eating at least 3/4 of a pie in a sitting, so I can do it. I would have to get my game face on and start training, but it's 100% doable. So I would have smoked the competition there unless like Big Chief Padawawa would have came by and just smoked me out. But you know what, I would put up a strong fight. So I had to say no to that pie eating competition that I originally committed to go be a cowboy, because of course when an opportunity like that presents itself, you have to go and take it. And it reminded me of a show I saw during the Fringe this year of a magician who had a similar kind of Hail Mary request to the Norwegian government to perform magic for the king and the queen of Norway or Iceland or something and their family. And they ended up saying yes. And his whole point was, listen, if you don't ask, you will never get it. Right? So for me, and that's why he said this was a real magic show, because the magic is in the question, right? Not in the deed. It's in the question, because depending on how you ask the question or who you ask the question to and what you want to do, you never know what's going to happen. Even my job right now as a conductor, real estate development manager and coordinator, leasing, whatever, I'm just in real estate now because all I did was send a video of myself talking about who I am, what I do, and what I'm interested in to a guy who runs a very cool, successful boutique real estate company in the city and saying, yo, do you need my help? I would love to help out. And, you know, it didn't happen right away. Same way this ranch opportunity didn't happen right away. But lo and behold, 1.5 years later, they need someone to help run a project called Station Park. And there I am. And lo and behold, this rancher, this cowboy, this lady I deal with at the market, she runs the farm and owns the farm, and she hits me up and they're like, we're building a barn, we need a strong back, would you be open? And next thing you know, I'm on the highway, on the road again. I just can't wait to get on the road again. So I show up to the farm, okay? Now we're going to get into the farm stuff, the fun stuff. The farm is huge, okay? It's right next to a major lake in central Alberta. I don't want to give away too much information about the farm just to kind of keep their anonymity and their privacy, but it's a huge farm, right? And they have a view of the lake. It's like kind of like my dream. Like, people in the past have asked me, Akeem, what kind of property do you want to buy? And I always answer, like, something in the foothills of Alberta. So between Highway 2 and Icefield Parkway, rolling hills of Alberta with a view of the mountain are very close, and with water, access to a river or a lake. That's kind of my dream property. Call it 10 to 20 acres, a lot of forest opportunities, just kind of crown land kind of vibes with like a lot of forest, some plains. And that's exactly what this land was. It's like amazing, amazing property with, I think they had 160 acres, six generation farmers. So I think they were six generation farmers in a farm in East Alberta. And then this opportunity came to assume it from an older farmer in the mid 90s. So they transferred their family farm from Eastern Alberta to here. But their old farm out in Eastern Alberta, they'd had in the family for five or six generations. So I think five generations, which is like about 120 years or something like that, right? So they've been farming for a while and they know exactly what to do. So I pull up and I'm like, wow, this property is sick. And I got my shit kickers on, right? Got my old jeans and my jean jacket and just ready to go, right? And I drive up and I see one corgi. And I learn later that they breed these fucking things. I shouldn't say fucking things. There are just a lot of them. And they're great. Actually, they made me like dogs. But I see one and I'm like, oh, they got a dog. That's cute. A dog. Who needs a dog? Listen, when you have 160 acres, you don't have one dog. You have dogs. You have more dogs than DMX. You got more dogs than Drake, right? Where my dogs at? It's not who let the dogs out, it's who let the dogs in. Because as soon as I open this door, literally 15 or 20 dogs just greet me. And I really understand now why people like dogs. It's unconditional love. They didn't know me from Adam. These dogs didn't know me from a can of paint, and I could have been the Messiah, right? Pulling up with the peace on earth and happiness to all, because these dogs just made me feel awesome. And they just flooded my car. I open up Franny and they're just right there. Boom. And I just love them, right? Just, okay, welcome to the farm. So walk up and just to lay the land, they're actually building a barn. So the reason they needed my help was because they're building a barn. They had the four posts in the roof, but they needed to build foundations for the back and side walls, or the front and back walls, pour concrete, and then put on the frames for the sides of the walls, along with the exterior facade, steel facade. So that was going to be essentially a barn for their birthing of the calves in the winter, and they need to be protected from the elements. So it was going to be a big job, and they obviously going to be hauling a lot of wood around, all that kind of stuff. So I pull up, pass by 20 dogs, I'm not joking. And by the way, yeah, they breed these dogs. They're corgis and pit bulls. They breed corgis and pit bulls, and then they got six or seven farm cats. So we pull up, there's this huge barn, and this barn's got massive roof on it, and it's probably like maybe 7,000 or 8,000 square feet or something like that. And when I first arrived there, they're putting posts in and pouring concrete. So when I pull up to the barn where they're all working, there's five of them, two ladies and three guys. The three guys, one of them is the family son. One of them is a farmhand, like an actual like worker, cowboy guy. And then the other guy is another rural contractor guy from Australia. Really cool guy. And he's up there hammering a post. The rural contractor guy from Australia is the boyfriend of the daughter of the family. And then the other guy is the son of the family, and the other guy's girlfriend is also there. So there's two ladies, three guys, and they're all just kind of working there. One's holding the post in place with a chain. The other one's on top of a tractor, kind of pinning in the beams or the columns into the roof. And then me and this other guy were at the base, the farmhand, and we're loading in concrete, spraying it, and just kind of mixing the concrete. So we did this and we finished all the posts, and then we go ahead and put up some framing. And, you know, I'm asking questions about their livestock, life on the farm, all these things, how many heads of cattle they have. Turns out they have like almost, I think they said they have like 80 to 100 heads of cattle, They have one pig, and then they have, you know, 5-6 cats, 20 or 30 dogs. They breed these dogs and they sell them, and then they have a bunch of pit bulls as well. They're avid hunters. They also have crops. So a lot of these farms, like, obviously they make money with, and I asked them actually about the son of the farmer about Yellowstone, right? Because that's a very popular cowboy ranch style show. And it became popular because a lot of people just are kind of curious about what that side of, like, what people do on farms. You know, it's an amazing feat, actually, that a lot of Albertans don't even know what farmers and cowboys do all day, because this is essentially our cult. Like, it's hockey, God, and farming out here, right? That's kind of how this land was settled. it's kind of amazing that a lot of people don't really realize a lot about what goes into farming and how they organize their year and how they make money, all those different kinds of things. So they have a lot of different money generation things, right? But, you know, they'll provide services for other cattle farms with, like, trimming their, I think they were like feet trimming or doing something with the feet. They obviously sell the cattle for meat. They'll sell the cattle for milk. They have a few different crops. They have barley, they have rye, I believe they have corn. So they sell a bunch of crops that way. Obviously, you have 160 acres of land. You got to use some of that for crops. It kind of only makes sense. And they have horses. They have a bunch of horses. So I think they have a trailer business where they make and resell trailers. And the amount of machines on this property was amazing. Like, they had, like, so many tractors and just different silos and systems and all this stuff. And it was all organized. Everything was in place. And I was asking them if they had any chickens, and they go, no chickens. Apparently what happens with the chickens is these owls, these big fucking owls, will just scoop by and just start taking the chickens. You'd think that it'd be coyotes and stuff like that, right? Coyotes, maybe foxes, you know, don't let the fox in the hen house, as they say. But no, it's owls. Owls come by in the middle of the night and just kill chickens. They're super predatory assholes, apparently. And I did not know that, so... Yeah, for farmers in Alberta, it's owls they got to worry about, not anything else. Like, coyotes, obviously, but the good thing about coyotes, not the good thing, but if you have a donkey on your farm, it's actually very scary for a coyote to approach. Donkeys actually scare off a lot of, like, lamb-based predators that are pests on farms, because they are super protective, and they kind of have an ear out for that. So coyotes, they're warded off by donkeys, which they had one donkey there. And obviously they think everything, a coyote probably thinks a horse is a donkey too, just the way it looks and stuff. But owls don't have to worry about that, because they fly in, fly out. So they murked like half the chicken population, and then they just decided to not have chickens after that. So I'm walking around, and the one lady who is actually the country singer, the son of the farmer's girlfriend, is Berlin. She's this country singer. And she was telling me, she's like, have you seen the moose yet? And I said, what moose? She goes, yeah, there's a moose around here. And then the son, her boyfriend, goes, yeah. So one day I was driving down the road and I saw this baby moose stuck in some barbed wire. And I got out, maybe it was a baby calf. Got out, saved it, nursed it back to health, helped repair its leg. Actually nursed it with, like, a bottle of milk and stuff. And now, you know, fast forward a few years or however many years it's been, and it's a full-grown moose. Not 100% full-grown, like, it still's got some height to go, and it just lives on the farm. And it's not technically illegal to have, well, it is illegal to have a moose in captivity, but it's not illegal to just have a moose roam your farm and hang out, because it's free to leave at any time. Like, the moose is so, I'm not exaggerating, my head is at its chest, and I'm 5'11", 6 feet with shoes, 6'2" with a fro, you know how it goes. But anyways, my forehead is at its chest. That means its head was 6'6" in the air, maybe almost seven feet in the air. It wasn't even full grown yet. So this moose, if it wanted, it could just, like, whoop, jump the fence and be gone in the wilderness, right? But it just walks around the common areas of the farm on the road and kind of in the troughs by the hay and stuff, and it just hangs out. But when I turn the corner, holy shit, it's a moose right there. The first thing that comes to my mind is, that is the most Canadian thing I've ever heard in my entire life. A pet moose? What's next? You have a maple syrup forest, and, right? This moose's name was Bernie. So, yeah, we have a pet moose named Bernie on our farm. we're real Canadians. I could not get over that, right? Like, who has a pet moose? Only in Alberta, only in Canada. So yeah, the moose was there, and farm kitties, and we're building this barn out, and the dogs are just going crazy. The ranch hand goes off for a bit just to kind of feed some horses, and I asked to go with him, and he shows me how they feed the horses with the hay and all the horses around the farm and stuff. I got to feed one of the horses. They're really, really friendly, really friendly creatures. Just, and apparently they said I can come back anytime, and I intend to actually ride one of these bad boys. They're beautiful animals, man. I mean, horses, amazing, amazing shoulders and strength and muscles everywhere. Just him and Han. I like walking up to the cow gates too, right? Cows are peculiar, right? They have their own personality. They're kind of funny. They're very curious and innocent, but then they're easily spooked. I like walking by them. And it's funny, the dogs, it's the pit bulls, they'll come up and the cow will notice it and walk up and just do a stare off. And then the dog will do a stare off with the cow. So, right, the dogs and the cows got beef, no pun intended, right? But it's pretty funny. So, yeah, just surrounded by all these animals, all this love, man. The cats are coming up to me and jumping on me, and the dogs are jumping on me, and the horses are coming up to me, and I just felt like a messiah there. It was wild. Maybe they hadn't seen a brother before, especially a handsome Jack brother like me before, but hey, c'est la vie, that's how it goes. And apparently there was a pig, but I didn't see the pig when I walked by the horse stalls. So towards the end of the day, when the farm owners came by, they gave me a tour of the rest of the farm, and I said, hey, I haven't seen the pig yet. And he goes, or she goes, the lady runs the farm, that invited me, she goes, yeah, come, let's go see him. Her name was Pineapple, this big, big pig. I don't know how big she was, but she was a pig. And they were trying to freak me out. They're like, oh yeah, make sure we have a hoodie on you, because you don't want, you know, if you have your arms exposed, they're going to munch you up, right? They were like, yeah, pigs can eat right through bone, right? They probably have all these city folk come out and they try to scare them off with all these crazy wives' tales. And what they're saying wasn't true, but this pig was not going to attack me. I told them, I was like, listen, guys, I got plans and shit, right? A pig's not going to take me out. If anything's going to take me out, it's going to be a freaking... Nothing's going to take me out. I got manifest destiny, right? I'm going to achieve all my goals and dreams before any shit happens to me. So anyways, we go and see this pig, but as we get to the pen where the pig is, there's a bunch of cows in there. One of the cows has his head stuck in the loop that supports their big trough that they eat out of. So it's a huge trough, and then it's supported on both sides by this like stand, and it's looped, so it's like maybe a diameter of a foot. And for whatever reason, they told me this happens once every like 10 years or something, where a cow will just like go up and get startled and push its head down and then get its head stuck in this loop. So we actually had to do some cowboy shit. We had to lasso up the trough to a post. I was in charge of holding the line. And then they massaged the cow's head out while other cows were trying to mount it. Other cows were just investigating, being spooked out. I think the cow was so scared it took a deuce. And I was holding the line. Cows around me were pissing and stuff. Like, it was some real ranch hand farm shit. Like, I was a cowboy for real, for real. As that was happening, the day was kind of coming to an end, and I was really just enjoying the company, and they invite me in for a lamb roast. Oh, it was so good. And this is another thing too. I don't think enough people just go, and maybe they do this when they're traveling, but just go and sit with other families for dinner. I love doing that kind of shit. I think that's the whole point of life. I'm not going to lie to you. Besides having kids and a family and all this kind of stuff, finding your purpose, it's go and have dinner with other people. Go and see their perspective. Go and hear what they have to say about life, because they have so many crazy stories and funny things that happen to them. The Australian guy, who is the boyfriend of the daughter of the family, was telling me about all that. He's like a real life cowboy. Like, he's a rural contractor, so he builds barns and all this kinds of stuff. He does like just ad hoc work across the prairies. But then he's also a ranch hand who directs cattle. Like, back in Australia, there would be literally like 3,000 or 4,000 heads of cattle, and he would be at the back, just with a cat, with on a horse, just getting them all to get to the same place, And then if a cow strayed off or it was like a wild bull or something, he would get on an ATV and just chase it down in the bush, jump on its back and wrestle it up, you know, and track it down with helicopters and shit like that. And it's wild, man. Some people live amazingly cool lives. Like, some of y'all need to get out of the city and see these people. I think it'll change your perspective, right? I think it's just like they have the wake up and they have a purpose. Like, today we're building a barn, or we're birthing calves, or we're feeding the hay, or we're going on an adventure in the woods. Like, everything, there's never a dull moment, which is why I think I'm going to buy a ranch one day. I can definitely see it. But we have this huge meal, and then they have some apple pie, and I'm like, you guys are talking dirty to me now. Like, I'm not sure how this day could get any better. Right? We're talking about pie now? Come on now. Had some pie, shot the shit with them, and they said, whenever you'd like, come back, and I hope they mean that. And back to the barn for a second. Like, while we're walking around looking at the barn and working on the barn, the moose just pulls up and starts, like, hanging out. I was talking to the lady who owns the farm there, and then all of a sudden behind me, I just hear, and the moose is right there, 5 feet from me. And it's a, I can't understand how big it is. Like, think about Shaquille O'Neal, but like a deer. With a big torso and a fuselage with like a hockey bag full of meat. Like, these things are massive, massive. I don't think all those Bigfoot sightings back in the day, they probably just thought it was a human, it was an actual moose. Like, if this thing was 7 feet tall, wasn't done being built yet, like, they were telling me it can get up to 1,500 pounds, 7.5 feet, 8 feet tall. Like, just think about how big that is. Like, a massive, massive creature. And it was just behind me chilling. And the son who rescued it has, like, this kinship with Bernie, where he'll wrestle with him. And Bernie, if he really tries, will push him back. The dogs will go right up to him. And the dogs are funny. Like, these corgis and these pit bulls, they kind of just... all the animals know each other, right? So they'll just go into the horse pen, or they'll go into the cow pen. They'll go hang out with the pig and stuff. The pigs hang out with the cows. The cows hang out with the cats. The cats hang out with the corgis. The corgis hang out with the mooses. It's just one big happy family. I love that. It's so cool. But yeah, aside from, you know, releasing that cow from the trough and building the barn, feeding the hay, I would definitely do it again. I had a great time. And we actually built the barn. We didn't get the facade of the barn up, but I love doing handyman work like that and building stuff. Because you go to bed that night and you're like, not only did I build stuff, I interacted with animals. And I saw a moose named Bernie. So I will definitely be a cowboy again. I highly encourage you guys that if there's something or some adventure or some... if somebody's got something that you want to experience and you're willing to work for free, why not? Shoot them a shot. Be like, hey, I'm always being curious about X. Any chance I could swing by for a day, do a ride along, be a cowboy? Who knows what they're going to say? The worst they're going to say is no. But if you're lucky and if you're earnest, they'll say yes. With that being said, thank you for tuning in to another episode of Akeem's Dream Show. Until next time, pony up.